Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 152. Last week, I did mention at the very end of the episode the very special guest this week, and it is someone I recognise, and I'm hoping you will as well, because he has been on the podcast before. It is Tom.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, I'm back.
It's very good to have you back. I was excited all week.
Thanks.
Yeah.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
It's been a long while, and thank you for mentioning that, because I did think to myself, we must thank all the filler inners.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people sub in for me.
So Steph, a.k.a. Tidy, Guy.
Yep.
Kristen, Mick.
Yep.
Heath, Jasper.
Yep.
And big girl Chloe. Oh, she's a big girl.
What a lineup.
Yeah, huge, huge lineup. And they all did a stellar job and they all had a great time. So I think maybe we are fun.
Awesome. I suspected that.
I thought so too. But you know, sometimes you're too into it and you're like, well, I enjoy it, but yeah, maybe it's not as enjoyable for others. But I think we're good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've been off. We had a baby, which is very exciting. And then we got to spend.
Congratulations. I've said it before, but not whilst recording.
Yes.
So,
little Lily, she's doing well now. I was stuck in hospital with her for 5 weeks. She's what's called a TOF baby. So, she was born with her esophagus not connecting to her stomach, but her trachea did connect to the stomach. So, day two, we had a massive surgery session and then spent a long time in hospital rehabilitating, and we have to keep going back in for overnight stays, and they put a balloon down her throat and inflate it. It's weird.
Just to keep it
stretching.
Okay.
Because she gets strictures, which is like where it thins too much inside the throat. She can't swallow properly.
Does that hinder breathing as well?
Not so much with the breathing,
okay,
but it makes it very difficult to get food down,
yeah,
and stuff like that. So, yeah, that was a trying couple of weeks, but she's doing fantastic now.
Awesome.
We were at home and she ripped her feeding tube out of her nose by herself, which was not awesome.
Big girl Chloe did that as well on her second last day in the hospital, because she spent, I think, 4 weeks. So Lily's won in that competition, but she was there for a fair while as well. And, yeah, she just decided she'd had enough.
And that's what happened. And so we got to spend another day in hospital. And at the end of the day, they were like, just go.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good.
Right.
That's
so,
good.
Yeah, she's doing very well. Keeping me on my toes.
I have met her. She did not want to wake up to say hello at all. You tried, but she's like, I'm really sorry. I can't be awake right now.
Well, in her defense and also mine, we are both still on 3 hourly feeds.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Got to have that sleep.
I honestly don't know how old, I think she's 8 weeks old tomorrow.
Do you know how I know that? Because there's been 8 episodes.
There you go.
Well, I think because we pre-recorded one.
Yeah.
And then.
Then it kicked off.
And then it kicked off. Yeah. So there's been 8 episodes. That's how I know how old she is.
I just mean, time was already confusing thanks to Corona and stuff. And now I have no concept of what's going on. It's great. Being a stay-at-home dad is great fun.
Yeah, you look like, when you popped in late last week just to sort of catch up and stuff, you definitely look like you were not only enjoying it, but in the zone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like in the swing of it, had it all under control, enjoying your time.
We're
having
fun.
And which is great.
I have earmarked Tuesdays as my day to go and get things done, which gets called my day off. It's not my day off.
No, it's the day to get stuff done.
Busy, busy, busy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, we're here. We're doing
we're here.
This. And this is going to be awesome.
So shout out to everyone that subbed in for me. I really appreciate that. And apologies in advance for this episode and the next few if I'm a little scattershot, because
you'll be fine.
Brains are all over the place.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. The desire to dress up has always been strong in Watchersville, and this month is no different. This is the time of the year that other parts of the world join us in wearing costumes and demanding sugar-based snacks, which is why we think we're seeing a large number of men in black. It's that or it's happening again. 15 years ago, Watchersville was invaded by a mysterious government department who set up barricades around the old quarry. During their 3-month stay here, there were strange comings and goings around the area, which made everybody very much on edge. Then one day, as unexpectedly as they arrived, they were gone. The peculiar part was they took the entire quarry with them.
all very odd. And we're sure that that isn't the case this time, as there's no quarry left for them to take, so nothing to worry about. Local librarian June Mays has written a book on the history of our town, more specifically the movies and TV shows that have been filmed here. When asked what her top three crews were, she said ghost hunters because they were very busy with the local spirits, Birds of a Feather because Sharon is great, and the unreleased episode of Friends. Not much is known of this lost special, however, June was able to find out that the cast refused to enter our county, making it difficult to film, which meant it was less about friends and more about strangers getting paid to be extras. And briefly, it's time to get your orders in for the limited edition Watchersville Advent calendars. As they are handmade by the men's shed, there's only six of them and none are alike. Fred and Neville both claim that theirs is better built, but at a glance we can see that they're both of similar quality. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
Now I'm going to get it out of the way straight up first.
Yep.
I've watched a lot of Bluey already. When I say a lot, I just mean like 20 minutes a day.
Yeah, but still, that's more than you would have.
Yeah, before. And that's way better than I thought. There's some good storylines in there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of jokes for the adults, but not in a crass manner.
And Bluey's dad was in custard,
correct.
Right? Yeah.
Correct.
Dave?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, anyway, that's out of the way. I didn't watch much in the hospital because I found it too weird having headphones on and all the beep.
Sure, yeah.
All that sort of stuff going. Yeah. But since getting home, I've been able to crack back into some good stuff.
Fantastic.
I've got some good things, but I have no news today.
That's okay. I found bits and pieces of news, and I think Jasper and I overkilled the news last time.
Perfect.
It was almost an hour before we actually got into watching suggestions. I went, I might reel that back a little.
Sure, yeah. Look, the only news I care about is following who's going to be in Spider-Man 3 because they keep making rumors and stuff of – It sounds like they're going to do live-action Spider-Verse, and they might get the other two Spider-Men in as well.
Which would be awesome.
That's my only news.
And we'll tie in quite nicely to the PS5 game, Miles Morales.
Yes, Well, they've announced that Benedict Cumberbatch will be in the film as Doctor Strange, and his next movie is the multiverse movie, so they're all setting this up of they're going to be skipping across verses.
So once again, it's all that Marvel tie in to this, ties into that. I've got a little bit more news about the Doctor Strange 2.
Yes.
What's it called?
Through the Multiverse of Madness.
That's right. I knew it had an extra bit in there. Anyway, Sochi Gomez, who was Dawn in Babysitter's Club on Netflix.
Sure, yeah.
So it looks like she's going to be in the next Doctor Strange movie. I don't know what her character is.
She could potentially. Recently, Doctor Strange has had it's not a housekeeper or butler, but like a woman named Zelma. She's meant to be about 21, 22 or something like that, quite young.
Okay.
And she works as an assistant in the library nearby, and she's into the occult, and she discovers Doctor Strange there and basically blags her way into being not his assistant, but kind of a help. So I could see her potentially there.
I like when I find casting news and you go, all right, this is who I reckon it's going to be.
It's either going to be that or she's going to be an alternate universe Black Widow or,
Do
you know what I mean? Like
some
other character that we've met before. Like, because there's all these rumors that they're trying to get Tom Cruise. Well, he was originally going to be Iron Man way back in the day when they were first floating the idea. Tom Cruise put his hand up and was keen for it. So there's all these rumors, like all these dream castings that have been in the past.
That's fun.
There's rumors of that. There's rumors that they'll get John Krasinski in to be Captain America because he was actually in the front running before Chris Evans. Chris Evans kept turning it down.
Did he really?
Yeah, he turned it down like four times.
I'm glad they were persistent.
Agreed.
I think he's probably glad they were persistent as well.
But yeah, apparently over the next, like, it's not all going to be in Doctor Strange 2, but in a bunch of these movies, we're going to see some really weird dream casting type things happen.
Do you think that that could also go into WandaVision? Because they're talking about her also being in Doctor Strange 2. And actually Kevin Feige said that there's a tie in storyline-wise with WandaVision and this Doctor Strange too.
Yes. So her story from this film will continue, from the TV series will continue into the film.
Okay.
And I think it's very important that her magic is what is deemed chaos magic. So someone pointed this out and I never actually realized it. Mm. But all the times we see people use their powers, if their powers came from one of the stones that were in Thanos' hand,
yeah,
their power usage is the same color. And I never even twigged to that. But like anytime Quicksilver moves, right, he moves blue, which is the same color as the stone that was used to give him the powers. Wanda's the only one that that doesn't line up with, because when she uses her powers, they're red, which is the reality stone. And that makes sense because she's chaos and messing with reality. Yeah, it's kind of like a nice hint of, okay, so if we've seen these colors before, what other colors will spring up more?
That's cool. That also makes you want to go back and watch others just to be like,
learn
something new.
If with Doctor Strange, the only times his powers ever go green is when he's doing something to mess with time, which makes sense because the stone in his chest is the time stone. Because
he's
green.
Always a bit orangey, isn't he?
He's got the orange and the yellow, which is the power of, I think that's just power or something. You know what I mean? If you actually go back through, these things line up quite nicely. So the fact that her powers are red really leads it to believe that whatever she does is going to break reality.
Mm.
And that's what the next few films afterwards will be dealing with, a broken multiverse.
And a broken, I was going to say WandaVision, but
Well, Vision's dead. And like they make a point of that in the trailer.
They do.
Catherine Hahn, and this is going to be great. But talking to the neighbor and she's like, am I dead? He's like, well, why would you say that? You're dead.
That's soon. That's December, right? Sometime in December we're getting that.
Yeah, that's what they say.
Yeah, that's what they say.
A wise man once leant over and whispered in my ear, we tweet, therefore we are. Profound and a little creepy. Follow the Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1. They aren't creepy. I promise.
Look, let's stay on Marvel for a second because whilst you were away, but not away from the world of the news, about a month ago, I think it was Mick I was talking about it with, we found out a bit more news about She-Hulk and that it was Orphan Black's Tatiana Maslany. She was going to play it and everyone was like, this is awesome. Perfect casting. Everybody very happy with that. Turns out it may not actually be the case because she did an interview with Sudbury Star. I don't know what that is. It's some sort of publication. And she said, I quote, it's not actually a thing. She said, and it's like a press release that's gotten out of hand. It's totally not. I've been connected to these things in the past and press have gotten into it, but it's not actually a thing, unfortunately. Now, this is super confusing because the showrunner, Jessica Gao, she confirmed it on Twitter.
And Ruffalo.
Ruffalo welcomed her to the Hulk family. So what's the deal? Like, did the deal fall through? Are they still?
Agents. There's an agent who's jumped the gun
somewhere.
Has to be a contract,
right?
Yep. And this is either a play for getting more money or something along those lines. And it would suck if it's, you know, not the case
because
they're pushing forward with it. Things, but I don't know. We'll see.
But they could also get, now that Glow's finished,
Alison Brie, which
she's
is what
right there.
The internet wants. I personally still want Stephanie Beatrice from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
I can see that too. In all honesty, I would be totally happy with all three of those. Mm. I know that Tatiana's amazing in doing character work because she spent seasons talking to herself. And even when there were, because she played clones, even when there was a clone pretending to be another clone, you knew that she was playing it like it was a clone pretending to be the other clone. Like, I don't know how you do that with ease. And I'm sure she went to a lot of, work within herself and rehearsal, but that's impressive acting. But having said that, Alison Brie as well. I think she's amazing.
Whoever it is, they need to be funny. That's my take. She-Hulk needs to be funny because it's an inherently stupid character. And they highlight that all the time. Of why do you just make a she version of an established character? I have high hopes for the show. Hopefully they work it out.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
I can't remember the name of the girl, a complete unknown, but they also cast Ms. Marvel.
That's right.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah.
Kamala. So she's a big character. Anyone that's playing the Avengers game will be very aware of her. She's recent. I don't think she's 10 years old yet in the comics. Maybe something like that.
I've only seen a little bit of the game, but she kind of looks a bit older in that. Maybe teenager-ish.
Yeah, she's meant to be late teens.
Uh-huh.
It's basically Spider-Man, but in 2010.
She's got a bit of like Inspector Gadget.
So she's stretchy. She's completely malleable. She's what's called an Inhuman. There was one series of Inhumans they did. Basically, they're kind of like X-Men mutants, but there's a latent gene within you, and there is a, it's called the Terrigen mists. These crystals let off a mist, and if your DNA has the thing that reacts, then you instantaneously like go in a cocoon and pop out and with powers. And some people, their powers are great and work well, like hers are stretching powers, and some of them turn them into a sentient door. Or just really bullshit, horrible things. Anyway, so she's not part of the royal family. There's a royal family of Inhumans that have supposedly lived on the moon for millions of years, keeping an eye on us and stuff. These mists get loose and start messing with people. And she's a Middle Eastern girl living in New Jersey and, gets bombarded with these mists and turns. And it's exactly the same story of Peter Parker of, you know, teenager trying to do the teenage stuff, keep the secret from his parents. She has the added responsibility of religious expectations put on her by her community, not just her family and stuff like that.
So
it's an extra plate that she's balancing and stuff. And it's a great character.
All right. Well, now I'm even more looking forward to finding out more about her and how they play her.
You didn't say the magic word. You're listening to We Are the Watchers.
We were talking about Alison Brie before.
Yes.
You know, we spent a bit of time, I think last week, on an episode, trying to sort of discuss why Netflix has been cancelling stuff and also why Glow was cancelled, seeing it had been renewed for the fourth season and that was going to be its final season, so it was wrapping up, and then they were like, nah, actually, we're not going to. I saw this interesting article on Radio Times and they were sort of breaking it down. David Craig was the author of this article as to the reasons probably why Netflix actually cancelled it.
Can I, off the top of my head, guess two reasons?
Go for it.
One, it's the fact that so much of that show is physically proximity, like they've got to be close to each other,
that's
touching
right.
and stuff. And secondly, I imagine the insurance on that show is a lot because you are paying actresses to fight or to be physical and they are not stunt people.
Yeah.
So I imagine that the insurance on that goes up every year.
And probably even more with COVID as well, because, you know, there are all the precautions that you have to put in place. And I would imagine that that just puts an extra cost on the budget of something like this. But one of them, 100% wrestling. They're wrestling. They're having to wrestle not just – it's not just like, oh, you two wrestle for this whole season.
Yep.
No, you all wrestle each other. It makes sense. Also, LA, the fact that they have filmed every season in LA and they were going to with this one as well.
And it's still shut.
It's still pretty much shut. I do have a little bit of news about some things that have just wrapped up filming there. But just the risk and the cost of having to do that there, I don't know why they decided not to go somewhere else. Maybe that also just – it wasn't feasible. You've also got, you know, huge actors there who would probably get a nice amount of money, particularly by season four, to be in this show. Delays as well. I know I was one of the people that said, well, why don't they just delay it, you know, film it next year?
Oh, but all the contract difficulties of trying to line up schedules for that are insane. That's going to be the reason why there's a lot of shows that are going to get cancelled.
And I don't think we've thought about it yet.
Oh, I have.
Yeah.
I've been thinking about this since back in like April. The legs on this. Second biggest cinema chain went under last
week. Yeah, I know.
You know? Yeah. We're going to lose some shows.
Yeah.
But it's, look, on the flip, it's a good time to be an animated show. I remembered a piece of news. So I watched Jurassic World Camp Cretaceous.
That was on Netflix, yeah?
It was. Yep. And it was great fun and way more scary and violent than I was expecting for a children's
really?
Show.
Okay.
Yeah. Like they get straight up hunted by dinosaurs for like six episodes.
Because didn't Shay have a show a bit of interest in watching
yeah,
that?
Yeah, we watched the first episode and then one of the kids, like a few of them sneak out of the camp at night and they believe they're at one of the tiny dinosaur enclosures and one of the kids drops their phone in and so one of them jumps the fence to go and get it back and yeah, it's the raptor pen.
Sounds like a Walking Dead decision right there.
Yeah, but they've announced that they're coming back early next, well, some point next year for season two.
Awesome.
Which makes sense. The first season, I think, was only 8 episodes, and it ends, like, it blew my mind the balls this show has. Of where, do you want me to just say?
In 3, 2, 1.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
Spoil it.
So the first season is these kids are on a camp on the called Cretaceous Camp on the opposite side of Jurassic World while the events of Jurassic World are taking place. So we see the helicopter going overhead to shoot the pteranodons that are trying to escape from the aviary, and then we hear the helicopter crash. And all this sort of stuff that if you know the events and the timeline of the movie, they're playing out kind of in real time on this show.
That's really cool. That's a bit of a Rogue One feel to
Very
it.
Very much so. Yeah. Well, it's almost Rosencrantz Guildenstern, of like they're hanging around in the periphery of the story. And we start hearing the sirens, and you remember from the film of that's when all the people are running down the main street trying to get to the dock to get out of there. And the pteranodons are attacking, and they're on a monorail trying to race to get there, and they miss the boat. And the end of the season ends with the people on the boat declaring that the island is lost and that they won't be going back.
Wow.
And these 6 kids are still on the island. Tahani, Jamila Jamil, is the camp counselor.
Mm.
And there's another camp leader. That's it. The 8 people are left on the island. The events of Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom or whatever, start with them going back to the island like 3 years later. And that's the first time anyone's been back. So the showrunners for this Camp Cretaceous have said that the show is in canon and this exists in the world and it will stay true to it and stuff. So these kids are going to have a really bad time.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like it's going to end well for them.
Oh, it's so good.
Wow, okay.
Yep.
I wonder how many seasons they'll make out of it then.
I could see them getting a couple out of this.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those shows where the first season ends of like, this is the show you really want to be making. Okay, we get it now.
Yeah, so
they're kind of skipping forward to Jurassic Park 3 of a kid stuck on the island alone.
Worth watching.
Yeah.
We were talking about shows that or productions that have been filmed in LA.
Yes.
Because Glow, no. But others, yes. So Film LA, the city and county's film permit office, has released some stuff. They've said these are the shows, these are the movies, and these are the commercials that have just wrapped in LA. So the shows I know, the others, I mean, it makes sense we wouldn't know the movies yet, but I'm just going to throw them out there. NCIS, Animal Kingdom, On the Verge, LA Undercover, and Mayans MC. They've all just finished wrapping up in LA. We've got movies Limbo, Soggy Bottom, Waking Up Dead, Without Remorse, and Night Teeth. Reality shows, Dancing with the Stars, Dog Impossible, The Con, Wheeler's Dealers, Botched, Celebrity IOU, Guys Grocery Games Delivery. It's hard to say. Commercials, NFL, Facebook, Bank of America, Toyota, Nissan, Harry and David, I don't know what that is. Now, that sounds like a lot, right?
No, it doesn't. That's depressing.
But it doesn't sound like a lot. If I was to read out, I don't know, this time last year, how many things were filmed in that same time period, it'd be most of the episode, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
There's nothing there that we watch.
No.
I mean, I'll watch Guy's Grocery Games at a pinch, but I don't want to watch Guy's Grocery Games Delivery. It's not the same.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch it on Zoom.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come back, Vancouver. The CW shows are starting filming soon, so I'll still get we'll get short seasons of Flash. And
New Zealand's got us for long-term stuff.
Like what?
They are making Lord of the Rings. I think they're up to the 2nd or 3rd episode filming.
Sure.
But that's not going to be for a while.
No. Mm. But we still get some Police 10-7.
Oh, my gosh. If they just make that, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
Just make 2 seasons back-to-back of that and I'll be super happy.
Surely if everyone's going to stay home, they can do another easy What We Do in the Shadows film.
Wait, where's What We Do in the Shadows? What We Do in the Shadows is filmed in Vancouver, right?
That's the TV show.
I know, but I'm still excited about it if they can do it there.
Yeah, I imagine they'd be keen to. They just, you know, they did well at the Emmys and this sort of stuff. But just, you know, if Jermaine and them they're back home, film a movie. Go on.
Just do it.
I know Taika's probably getting, well, he's got Thor 4 kicking off here in January or something.
Mm. That's enough time to do something with what we do in the shadows.
Yeah.
That's all the news.
That's enough news.
That's a fair bit of stuff, actually. I'm glad we went through with that. But let's now. Oh, I've got a quiz for you later.
Oh, good.
It's the end of Would You Rathers for a while. This one, I'm hoping, will have highs and lows.
All right.
Yeah.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
You said you watched a lot of stuff.
I watched a lot of stuff. And there's some stuff that we can dive into, and then there's some stuff that we'll just skip past briefly.
Sure.
Shall we smash?
Do a rapid fire for us.
All right. Eli Roth's History of Horror has come back for season 2. That is fantastic. The first one episode was about haunted houses and killer houses, so Amityville Horror and all that sort of stuff. But episode 2 was my jam. It was all about monsters, history of monsters.
Like all those sort of half this, half that kind of monsters?
Oh, more like King Kong, Godzilla, okay. Yep. Kaiju. Mm-hmm. There was a segment about Quiet Place and how they're changing monsters to deal with actual, so it's not just a scary, basically it was all how Godzilla is a thinly veiled climate change or messing with the climate. Don't do atomic testing. You've got King Kong, which was about the black man's battle with slavery and being taken from home and transported and then stealing white women and things like that.
Yeah.
And then Quiet Place was all about the bumping us down the food chain. We're not at the top anymore. Mm. And that's just by robbing us of our main source of communication, by doing nothing more than making it deadly to make noise.
Mm.
So, yeah, Eli Roth, very happy to have that back. The South Park had a pandemic special.
What'd you think?
I loved it. It was exactly as dumb as I hoped it would be. It was all about Randy being focused on creating a strain of weed called the Pandemic Special. But then it turns out that there was an episode last year where he went to China with Mickey Mouse, and they were like, this is proper in canon, they were trying to work out some deal with Disney being over there and this sort of stuff, and he was trying to sell weed to the Chinese and all this. Anyway, it turns out that they had a big drunken night, he and Mickey dared him to fuck a bat. And then as the episode goes on further, we learn that he also fucked a pangolin.
Oh, no.
And so he then decides that maybe his semen is the cure.
Oh, no.
So, yeah.
That went in a way I didn't expect, but I should have expected at the same time.
It was so bizarre, but there was a lot of footage of Randy wanking onto weed.
That's beautiful. Only South Park could do that.
Well, it turns out that smoking his weed with his semen on it does kind of cure you of corona, but then you grow a mustache. So he creates a mustache pandemic.
Yeah.
There are many layers to this thing.
I like where that went. That was good.
I watched a really interesting documentary movie that doesn't bill itself as a piss take, but if you know enough of the people involved, then you realize very quickly it is one.
Got me intrigued.
It's called You Cannot Kill David Arquette.
Okay.
And it's all about David Arquette. Now, some background on him. In the 90s, he was a reasonably respected actor, and this was before Scary Movie, but he'd done some pretty out there stuff and was kind of billing him. He was being billed as a really good character actor, and he's been talking about in the same circles as, you know, your Joaquin Phoenix and your Ethan Hawke and this sort of stuff. There's a lot of, you know, Vanity Fair covers with him in the mix and that. And then late 90s, he did Scream.
Scream, yep.
And the sequels. But he also did a film called Ready to Rumble, which was the first mainstream wrestling film. And it was him and maybe Scotty Kahn. Scott Kahn. Maybe I might be remembering someone different.
Right.
But the two of them are amateur aspiring wrestling fans who gets swept up into the
I can world. See him playing this. Maybe I have seen it, or maybe I'm just picturing it perfectly because it's him.
It's trash. But anyway, in promoting this film, because WCW was heavily involved in the production of the film,
mm-hmm.
and supplied wrestlers and let them film at their events and this sort of stuff, there's a word in wrestling, which I know I've mentioned to you before, called kayfabe, which is that you maintain the illusion, you keep the story up and this sort of stuff. Somehow David Arquette won the world championship and he was involved in like a three-way match and the other two guys knocked each other out and he fell on someone and
did
got
a Bradbury.
The three count. Very much so. And it's widely viewed as one of the darkest moments in wrestling history because it completely cheapened the brand and like the company was bust
really?
2 years later. Yeah. It
had that bigger impact on...
Well, up till that point,
the industry,
anyone who'd been a champion had earned it, fighting, done their time, whatever. And this was a guy who 3 weeks earlier was not involved in wrestling and then just stumbled in as a silly comedian and it just cheapened everything and made it look ridiculous. Mm. So ever since that day, he has been absolutely despised in the wrestling community.
Wow.
And is treated as scum. And like,
wow, okay, that's...
Yep. So this is a story, this documentary is about him trying to reconcile that fact because you quickly realize with him talking to the major driver this guy has in life is to make sure people like him. So he did this thing that he thought everyone would enjoy and be funny and instead made him a reviled public figure. And so he commits to learning how to wrestle for real in a hardcore backyard wrestling league, as in getting thrown on tacks, having light fixtures broken over his head, glass cut, the whole deal.
So not just the chair over the back.
No, like proper hardcore and backyard. So there's 40 people there and 20 of them are going to be wrestling at some point and this sort of stuff. And so this film is about him trying to earn the respect just of this small group and to see if that will spread further. At the same time, the film is also dealing with the fact that he's come off his meds and refuses to go back and is trying different things to battle his manic depression and his bipolar.
Okay.
And at one point we see him taken to a hospital and strapped down and given ketamine. And
jeez.
I've seen this stuff happen before, but like given to him and he's convulsing going, oh my God, this is it. Oh, I can think, oh, I love myself. And it's...
Wow.
Such a weird split to see this guy battering and breaking his body trying to get some approval.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, he's struggling just to try to stay alive and not commit suicide.
Far out.
So this is why I say I don't know if it's a comedy. I don't know what this film is, but my God, I enjoyed it.
Really?
I came out with a completely different level of respect for this guy of he – broke his body for more than a year making this film, trying to get some approval just so he can put it out and hopefully some people might change their mind about him. That's the only...
So is it new? How recent are we talking?
I think I saw it 6 weeks ago and it was like dropped.
And it was
dropped
then. So it's 2020.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it just, wow.
What was it called again?
You Cannot Kill David Arquette. And I'm telling you now, that's one of my dark horses for top five films of the year.
Yeah, right.
It's slim pickings this year, but wow, it was good.
Gee, okay.
I've been looking forward to talking about that one with you because it just blindsided me of what the fuck?
Yeah.
Why has David Arquette got a movie?
So what attracted you to it? Was it the fact that there was that wrestling element? Like, did you remember the movie existed back in the 90s?
I still hate him.
Oh, you hate him. Okay.
For what he did.
Yeah.
Because like at that time I was still really, really into wrestling.
Sure.
Not to the point of it was real, but it was still at that same time where they were only just beginning to admit the fact that it was scripted. So kayfabe was such a big thing. Mm-hmm. And he burst that bubble for so many people that people have a serious issue with him. And like I've enjoyed him in Scream and other stuff and he's a funny guy and he seems nice enough.
Yeah.
But seeing both what he went through back then and like him talking on the record with other wrestlers about it was not his idea. He spent the afternoon telling them, don't do this. People will hate you. People will hate me. This is going to go poorly. And like, no, we'll get a big ratings pop. It'll be excellent for your movie, all this sort of stuff.
Wow. Okay.
And yeah. So yeah, it was it was on iTunes and I saw the title. I was like, that's interesting. I clicked through and I read it and I think I got 6 words into the description. I was like, bye.
I'm pressing play right now.
Yep.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Well, I have been watching, I've been getting through, it's been on SBS here in Australia. Fargo season 4.
With a bit of Chris Rock, yeah?
A bit of Chris Rock in there as well as Jason Schwartzman, who...
I interviewed him. He's a lovely guy.
I'm glad you said that.
He was so nice. Because I interviewed him for the Darjeeling Limited, which was the Wes Anderson film I enjoyed the most. Mm-hmm. And it's the one that most people forget about. Luke Wilson and Adrian Brody are on the Darjeeling Limited, a train. They're going to scatter their father's ashes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of stuff that I've really enjoyed.
Did you ever see Bored to Death?
Yep.
Yeah, so good in that. Yeah.
My early memories of him, like the Tenenbaum.
Royal Tenenbaums.
Royal Tenenbaums, and, that kind of stuff.
Rushmore.
That's right, Rushmore. All those, he's always been solid in everything.
I saw him a few weeks ago as the bad guy in Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, he's the final boss.
He'd be a good boss.
Oh, yeah, he takes no guff.
So he and Chris Rock, they're adversaries.
Mob, yes.
Yeah, this is Mob, set in the 50s. A little bit different to other Fargo seasons, but then when I say that, I think all Fargo seasons have been.
Yeah, it's an anthology show,
pretty
isn't
different.
It?
Yeah, I was talking to my mum about it last night, actually, and she said, oh, yeah, somebody suggested that I watch it, but I haven't seen the other seasons. And I said, it doesn't matter. You can watch this one. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. There's nothing connecting it, at least not that I know of yet. I mean, I think this week we get the 5th episode. So who knows? I just know it's going to be insane. But something in this season so far that's a bit different to the others is there seems to be ghosts and spirits just attached to one storyline.
All right.
But it hasn't been in any other Fargo show. So now I'm like, is it just that person who's seeing things?
Sure.
Or is this real? I love Fargo. The movie was great. The first season was very similar to the movie, but still different. That was the one with Colin Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had season 2, which had Kirsten Dunst in it, which I think might have been my favorite. I really liked that one. And then the 3rd season was Ewan McGregor playing twins.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels like a lifetime ago. So it's great to have another season in there. And Chris Rock so far is playing a very different character to the Chris Rock that I know.
Has me very excited for the next Saw.
Yeah, he's like a detective or something. And
yeah.
Just judging by this, he can tone it down and play something very different. My standout character so far is a nurse, Nurse Mayflower, played by Jessie Buckley, I think she's Irish, but she's got the real, like, you know the typical Fargo accent you imagine?
All year.
She's got that, and she crazy.
Okay.
She's really crazy. And within the first 10 minutes of meeting that character, I'm like, her, I want more of her. She's insane. She's crazy. And that's the Fargo feel that you want. So yeah, really enjoying it so far. And I already know it's going to go in all different places because that's what they always do. What else have you been watching?
So I watched a show that actually came out in like 2015 or something like that. And I don't know how I stumbled across it, but it's called The Middle of the Night Show.
Where's this from?
So it's from, some of the same people that did Adam Ruins Everything.
Okay.
But this show, it's in New York,
mm-hmm.
and basically there's a host, a PA, a girl holding the cue cards,
yeah,
and a guy on the drum kit. And they arrange with a celebrity that they're going to fly into New York,
mm-hmm.
and they put them up in a hotel, and then the next morning they're going to meet and they're going to work out what they're going to do for this show.
Like a production sort of meeting.
Yeah. But really what happens is they put them up in the hotel, and then at 2 a.m. they've got a key card for their room.
Oh, no.
So they go in and start the TV show standing around the person asleep and then loudly wake them up with the with the show introduction.
And then they have to perform the interview.
No. They have to host the show.
Oh, they're hosting the show.
They're hosting a show.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Completely unprepared and unprompted.
Wait, are they in on it? Like, is this a scripted thing? Like, what is this?
No, it's not scripted. So what I'm saying is they've been told that they're going to host a show in the morning.
Wow.
And when they show up in the morning, they'll find out what the show's about. But instead, at 2 a.m., they're rudely awakened and that, like, with the cameras on them and, like, the guy on the drum and starts playing that, and then someone runs in and puts a desk in front of them on the bed.
The girl with the cue cards runs up.
Yep, and she's standing there with this, and it's literally like, hi. So the three best episodes I saw were Thomas Middleditch from Silicon Valley, who was amazing, and like within 5 seconds was, all right, well, let's just fucking do this. All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. And there was Adam Pally.
Adam Pally?
He was on Happy Endings, and he's been in a bunch. As soon as you see him,
I'm gonna have a look at him whilst you talk.
That guy.
Adam Pally.
So he and Ben Schwartz.
Oh,
Jean Ralphio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that makes sense, because Tom Middleditch did that. What's it called? Long form
improv.
Improv.
Yes. So Middleditch and Ben Schwartz team up all the time on improv, but Adam Pally. So a few years ago, Craig Robinson, who used to host The Late Late Show, he went on holidays for a couple of weeks or something like this, and so they had guests host subbing in for him. And they got Adam Pally to do one episode, and Ben Schwartz was his offsider. And look this thing up online, because it is the funniest deconstruction of what late-night television is supposed to be I've ever seen.
Okay.
He starts the show angry about the fact that he's got to do this. And it just, it falls apart. So putting him in a live setting like that worked really, really well. And the other one that was amazing was DJ Flula, who you might have seen on YouTube, Flula Borg. He is going to be in Suicide Squad 2.
Flula Borg.
F-L-U-L-A.
German actor.
Yes. He is hilarious. And
I know his face.
Yes, you might have seen him on YouTube. He does covers of songs where he drives around in his car with a sampler making the song live.
That makes sense, because it says he was in Pitch Perfect 2.
Yes.
Which I did not see.
So, and his episode was great. So these people get surprised. There was another one that was Beth from Walking Dead.
Oh, yeah. She's a singer now, yeah?
Correct. So she did a bit of music stuff and... you know, half the episode is them basically from bed scrambling, and then the other half is going out doing bits in the bits with people on the street until 6 a.m. And the rule is you don't get to go to bed until the show's done.
That's a great premise for a show.
Yeah. I think there's only 8 or 10 episodes. What? As I say, it ended years ago.
You probably can't do a second season,
right? No, you can't surprise people with that.
Yeah.
But, like... it was hilarious watching the different reactions, because Thomas Middleditch laughs straight away. He's like, game for it. Let's do it. Flula takes a couple of minutes to get into it because he's so asleep. But once he does, he's hilarious. And Adam Pally wakes up and is like instantly like, if you hit that drum again, I'm a fucking punch you. Fuck you. What the fuck is this? And they're like, we're doing the show. He's like, you told me in the morning. Like, no, we're doing the show. He's like, all right, let's do the fucking show. Cue cards. And he's just... angry about the situation for quite some time.
What a great reaction.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking they could do something similar on Zoom in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
If they wanted to sort of...
surprise people, tell them that they're hosting a show at 5 p.m. and call them at 1 and say, we're ready, let's go.
And they're like, oh.
Yep. The scramble.
They could do it. It could be... maybe they are doing it. We don't know.
It's a lot of college humor people behind it. Mm-hmm. And as I say, it ended years ago. It was only one small season. I wish they'd done more. Such a find. The middle of the night show.
It sounds fun.
I'll rattle off a couple of things
go
quick.
On.
I've been rewatching a lot of Ninja Turtles of various kinds.
So, like, are you talking about the original cartoon?
I've watched a few episodes. I read some comics in the hospital, and I was like, oh, man, I love Gatorhead. Leatherhead, the crocodile guy. I want to find out more about him. So I went and watched some old episodes. And then I forgot how damn good the Nickelodeon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle show was that started in, 2010, 12, somewhere around there. And I've been binging a whole lot of that again. And I completely forgot, but the last season is Turtles in Time, where they just go silly with it and they send them across multiverses and back to the past, and maybe they are involved with mutations happening back in the past that actually starts evolution. All this stuff. Anyway,
cool.
There's a 3-episode potential flash forward of what the future could be.
This is the Nickelodeon one.
Yes, of the world fell apart, and it's Mad Max.
But the turtles.
Raphael's the only one still left.
Ooh,
he's old. pissed off with a beard. Donatello, when all this stuff was kicking off, so he a long time ago, he built Metalhead, the robotic turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And when all this stuff was kicking off, he was connected to Metalhead and his body blew up. So his brain is
in a robot, Metalhead.
Leonardo, we have no idea what happened to, and Michelangelo is potentially a crazy old man who's giving sage advice to people. And
Obi-Wan, sort of.
Very,
but without
very
the
much.
Advice.
And the fact that we don't know where Leonardo is should be a bit of a tip of stay tuned.
He's going to be a bad guy.
Yes, yes, he is the bad guy.
Okay.
But amazing. I missed it the first time around and I'd heard good things about it and sat down and watched it and it is beautiful. The animation's great and stuff, but like a lot of this is just quietly spending time with Raphael dealing with loss and what that has done to, you know, he was a pissed off guy who kept everyone at arm's length. What happens when he's the last one left?
When the team breaks up.
Yeah. So it's such a, it was a really interesting take on that, the last Ronin idea of, you know, he's the last of his brothers. They fell. What becomes of a samurai who's lost all? They become a Ronin. They wander aimlessly until they die. And seeing that put into the Mad Max world with turtles and everyone else is a weirder mutant, so they're not the oddballs anymore. Brilliant. Really good.
That's cool.
Really, really good.
Did you tackle any of the early 90s movies?
Not this round, but I don't need to dip back because I watch them quite regularly anyway. You know, especially the first one. The second one's all right and the third one's guff.
I didn't say the third.
So they and go back the to two feudal of Japan.
No, I definitely didn't see that. But the first two, I don't remember either storyline because it's just like, that's the movies with the turtles. The first, that was fun.
The first one is dark and more serious and they, you know, believe in ninja ways and stuff. And the second one has Vanilla Ice.
That's right.
And there's a dance party at the end.
Do you know that Vanilla Ice did a movie?
He's done a lot. He's had a renovation show for like 15 years.
Yeah, but this movie was like in the peak of his Vanilla Ice time.
Oh, yeah.
And I've watched it with my friend, Marnie, who watches it every couple of years.
Sure.
And she admits it is terrible. And, oh, it's terrible. But there's a certain charm in watching something like that.
Rob Van Winkle.
Yeah.
I got time. That guy, he rolled his dice and it came up real lucky.
He really did. Yeah. And he's worked at stuff.
And as this renovation show is pretty good. I don't watch it religiously, but I've caught plenty of it over the years and he does well.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
There's a new series on Disney Plus from the people that make The Muppets. And I think we might have talked about this quite some time ago, but it's called Earth to Ned. And it is a puppet alien who hosts a late night talk show and he kidnaps and beams celebrities up on board his spaceship to learn about humanity.
So it's really, it's like the evolution of the Muppet Show.
Yes.
Which is, yeah.
And like the first guest is Andy Richter and he's there to give advice on being a sidekick. And it's this sort of, like they get Alison Brie on one episode. It's quite big names, but they're there to talk about a specific theme rather than promote anything or talk
about
somebody.
That's a good idea.
And so it's been a good one to sit down and watch with Shay because there's plenty of adult jokes in there that I really get. But there's also a really nice Muppet feel underneath of we are learning, we are growing, we are improving ourselves and stuff. So Earth to Ned, I enjoyed that.
Worth it?
Yeah, it's very simple. It's harmless. It's not the best thing in the world, but
it'll do.
It'll do. I only caught the first two episodes of it because it's a bit too serious for me and it applies more to Americans. But there's a show called Cal Penn Approves This Message. Now, Cal Penn was Kumar from Harold and Kumar, who also was Obama's like cultural attaché or something like this. He was a special advisor for Obama for about a year and a half.
I didn't know that.
Yes, and that led to him becoming he was a speechwriter character on Designated Survivor, and he's been involved in a lot of White House stuff ever since. So he put this show together.
Awesome.
And it's a Zoom thing. It's him Zooming and talking with other people, and it's kind of inspired by the Good News Network that John Krasinski did, but instead this is him A big part of what he did when he was working for the White House was finding out how to talk politics to young people. So this is a show about talking politics with young people, and not in the usual way, which is let's educate young people
cool,
how it is.
Cool kids.
Instead, vote. This is, we know you're pissed you can't vote.
Yeah.
You are better educated than anyone in history. You have opinions that are valid. Mm. You have concerns about your future that are very valid because the people in charge keep fucking it up. Here's some advice about things you can do now before you can vote. Here's some advice on how you can encourage the people around you that can vote to vote smartly. All like, brilliant. Why has no one been doing this? Mm. I mean, clearly that was his job. And he's now doing it in a different setting. But
and he's not like dressed up as a skater kid and he's like, hey, fellow youth. Like
no,
he's
it's
just
literally
being,
like, hey, I'm old now, yeah. So I'm not in the position to talk about this. But I've met tons of people in my career here that can. And we're gonna have some experts on that'll give some advice, but we're gonna talk to young people that are the movers and shakers.
I'd be interested to see some of that.
It was really interesting. And as I say, I'm not the target audience for it. I'm not American, I'm not young. But
you know, as time gets closer to when their elections are, you know, you can't help but be part of it. You know, it's everywhere.
It's everywhere. I'm pretty burnt out on it because I was following it for quite some time.
Yeah. Cool. I wouldn't mind seeing some of that.
Turns out it's easy being green. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
You know I love the show Utopia.
Yes.
You know, nothing like a good Rob Sitch show. But I knew that there was another show called Utopia, and I knew it was from the UK, and I knew it was very different.
And you know I love it.
And I knew that you loved it, or still do. That's why when I saw that, was it last week or maybe the week before, the US version of Utopia, the non-Rob Sitch version, came to Amazon Prime, I was like, okay, or Amazon Video, whatever they call it. I'm going to watch it.
Yep.
I'm going to watch it. Have you caught any of it yet?
So I haven't caught the US one. I've watched all of the UK, both seasons of it, and I've been following closely this thing. I will admit I'm very disappointed because David Fincher was going to be directing the whole thing.
Right.
And that was the plan for 2 or 3 years, and then that fell apart at the tail end. The person that he developed with did end up making it. And I have every intention of sitting down to it, but just at the moment – I don't have.
Oh, for sure.
I'm sure you can tell by the things I've been listing off that I've been watching.
Yeah,
I've not been doing much drama.
Good stuff. This one, because you know, I can do drama, and I can usually watch 2 episodes of something like that. And I did watch the first 2 episodes of it in one go.
But it's a bit on the nose for right now, isn't it?
It's a bit on the nose. I did see a headline for an article. I can't remember where it was from now, but it was like Utopia, the unluckiest TV show of 2020, because. It's about a flu pandemic.
Yep.
And you've got conspiracy theorists, you've got crazy people. I actually can't watch 2 episodes in one go. That was a mistake to do that. It's a one episode and then watch probably something from your list.
That's
it's gonna have a cleanser.
So from what I understand, the US version leans far more quickly into the global pandemic side of things.
It's almost straight away.
So the UK version took a lot longer to get to it, and it was about the conspiracy behind the comic book and bringing those characters together, and then they learn about this man-made pandemic.
Yeah, no, you find out about that in this, if not the first, definitely the second episode. So, yeah. I did read some articles about the differences between both of them, and it was very much intentional to change it up a little bit for the US.
I
so
imagine
that
there's some stuff that they did in the UK that was too...
Probably.
There's a horrific school shooting, and it's used as a way to bring down one of the main characters, who's a 12-year-old boy, to discredit him completely. They go and shoot up his class and pin it on him. So I don't know if that's going to happen in the US version.
I'm not that far into it. If it has happened, I don't know yet.
This is what I mean. Like that,
but also at the same time, that is something that could happen because there were a couple of genuinely shocking moments in maybe episode 2 or 3 where you're just like, oh, that, okay.
Did a guy get tortured?
Oh, that's like, yeah. That's first episode.
Okay, good, because that was first episode in the other one. And I didn't want to bring that because, that's a wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so it's a lot. I find it very fascinating because I do like these kind of shows, but it is a lot.
Yep. And I know that going in. And like at the moment, The Boys has been my show that is a lot, and it's a joke, and it's funny and stuff, but I don't know. Have you kept up with The Boys?
I've not started it yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is some really, really horrible gear that happens on The Boys. And like it's played for laughs, but if you actually sit down and think about it, you're like.
Yeah. Yeah, Jasper did a bit of a review of kind not a particular season, kind of like what he thought of the boys in general. And yeah, he loved it.
Yep.
But yeah, he's like, they're not nice people.
No, they're not at all. And I fully expect that with season three, we'll finally get to the point where we are in the comics, which is in the comics, the boys have taken Compound V as well, so that they can fight back on a more even keel. It's funny I said evil there because the comic then becomes a study in becoming what you hate in order to destroy.
Sure. Which I guess would tie in a bit nicely to, we've had a lot of Walking Dead whilst you've been away. Like it came out of nowhere. It didn't really come out of nowhere, but I was not paying attention to when it was starting. And it was like, hey, how you going? Bam, season finale. Bam, season premiere. Bam, brand new show.
Mm.
Like, whoa, whoa. Look, just general overall, did you watch any so far where you were like, that was pretty good?
I enjoyed the first episode back of Fear.
Me too. I thought that was my favourite one.
Six episodes of the various shows we've seen, that would be my favourite one, largely because it was a big course correction on Morgan's character. Enough of this pacifist bullshit. He's got a cowboy hat and an axe.
Hmm.
Done. Cool. Let's see where we go from here.
Yeah.
I thought the ending of Walking Dead was kind of cool. But, well, since I've been away, they made that big announcement, didn't they?
Yep.
I'm sure you discussed that.
Yep.
But now that we know that Daryl and Carol are safe, don't care anymore. Makes it really difficult to stay invested in any sort of dangerous storyline for either of them.
Yeah. So that was the season finale of the main show was the first thing back.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it, I think, because it was the first thing.
I agree. That was it. It had been so long that just having a new episode of something we care about was, special.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an amazing episode, but it was all right.
There were some nicely stressed out moments, but I also felt some stressed out moments in Fear.
Yes.
In a grander scope.
And I felt zero stressed out moments in World Beyond.
Yeah, that's got a very different feel to it. The first episode I was like, I enjoy the fact that it is set in this world, but it's got a completely different feel.
I don't know. They spend so much in that time in that show in safe spaces, and then there's just tiny moments of fear.
Yeah.
And the whole idea of The Walking Dead is the flip of that. You're just kind of trying to find these moments
constantly
of safety.
Trying to get to safe spots. So I think this season of Fear is the one to be watching.
Well, they say that it's an anthology season that everyone split up, and that was done before COVID, but it's become a really good thing for them. It means they can keep their production cast quite small and just have the people they need on at the time.
Yeah.
I understand now why they held off on debuting World Beyond, because there are moments that are very clearly tying in with The Walking Dead and Fear of explaining the three ring fuckers.
Yeah.
I don't know how else to put that.
I like that. That was good. Definitely. And like you said, it's nice to have new episodes of stuff that we usually watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the moment, pretty much all I get to download that's new is zoo programs,
because
they can keep filming them forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's new Top Gear.
Oh, yeah.
Which I will give a shout to. I'm really enjoying the Paddy McGuinness, Freddie Flintoff.
It's working.
Chris Harris. Yeah, it's really working. It feels like old school Top Gear.
That's good.
Yeah.
They
don't need a big celeb. That's been their problem.
So we've been having Would You Rather for so long that I have not heard the quiz music. So it's time for a quiz.
Da da da, da da da. It's a quiz remix. Da da da, da da da. Because I can't remember how it went. So this is the version now. Da, da.
It's the new one just for this week.
Quiz 2.0.
Yeah, this is called the Tom Appreciation Quiz.
Oh, I like that. I forgot to. Oh, dear.
Have you been appreciating Tom's while I've not been here?
No, I felt that that was sacrilegious. I couldn't do that. So this is a nice way to get back into it.
Sure.
And I thought this would be a nice
quiz. I forgot to appreciate a bloody Tom today. But
this is where you can appreciate it. All right,
this is where we can do it. This is
where we start again.
All right, good.
Which Tom played Ned Donnelly in 3 episodes of Family Ties? So someone who was around in the early 80s.
Tom Bergeron?
No. This is a big Tom.
Tom Selleck.
No, this is a big Tom.
Sizemore.
This is an Academy Award-winning Tom.
Tom Cruise.
Has he won an Oscar?
Probably not, no.
This Tom had coronavirus.
Tom Wilkinson, Hiddleston?
This Tom's in Australia filming that Elvis movie.
Oh, Hanks.
Tom Hanks.
Oh. Low-hanging fruit.
Yeah.
Swung right past Hanks.
You know why? I think you thought it was going to be harder than it was.
I did. That's like 80s. Let's go back.
All right, this one. Mm. This one you've got a 1 in 12 chance of getting this right. What is Tom Holland's star sign? He shares his birthday with, I think it's Kylie Minogue. If not, her birthday's around there and Alanis Morissette.
It definitely narrows things down for me there. Thank you. Thank you. Aries?
No, I'm just going to give you the peace sign right now.
Aquarius?
Two fingers up.
Gemini.
Yeah, Gemini.
There you go. All right.
1st of June, 1996 is when he was born.
Jesus Christ.
I know. That's how old and young he is. And old. Yeah. Drew Barrymore was married to Tom who?
Green.
Yes. In July 2001, they split up in December of the same year. You mentioned Tom Selleck before. Mm. Now, he played Dr. Richard Burke on Friends, as we all know. Mm. What was he a doctor of? There was an episode where Monica went and – I'm pretty sure it was Monica – went and – maybe it was Rachel – went and went to him to get this thing checked.
Is it feet or heart?
Oh, it's up the top.
Brain. Nose.
Eyes.
Oh, eyes. You did that and I thought moustache.
I know. I was trying to be like – general and specific at the same time and then just ended up pointing at my whole entire face.
Because Richard didn't have a moustache. Is that true? Or did he have the moustache?
I think he had it and then I think he shaved it off.
And she didn't like it.
Yeah. And along with the rest of the world. Tom Selleck without a moustache, that's illegal, right? Who did Tom Payne play in The Walking Dead?
Jesus.
Yeah. Who did Tom Payne play? Final one. According to Tom Jones... how unusual was it to be loved by anyone?
It's not.
It wasn't unusual at all.
It's not unusual.
And that is our Tom appreciation quiz. Well done.
Thank you.
You got one wrong.
That's not bad. I do appreciate a good Tom.
So that's kind of like a warm-up, and if you feel the need or you remember to do it next week, not a quiz, just an appreciation, we can kick it off then.
I've already made a note, just written Tom Dash.
You'll know what that is.
Hopefully remember that is.
That's a Tom shortcut, shorthand.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Boop, boop.